Oh, hi, podcast listeners. There's many ways you can listen to the Real Nerds Podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes. You can also subscribe on Stitcher Radio. You want to send us a Twitter message? You can do that. It's so easy, at Real Nerds. Like us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. You can visit our website, realnerdspodcast.com, where there'll be a lot of articles for you to not only read, but to listen to our previous shows. Do you like your stories told through pictures? Then you can also follow us at Real Nerds on Instagram. You can also call us, 720-6NERDS5. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Camera, action!
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd
doesn't
can...
Doesn't talk film! I'm sorry.
Take it outside.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd will give it all they got. Lights, camera, action!
Aloha and welcome to a fabulous edition of Real Nerds Podcast, the best movie podcast on the internet. I am Ryan. I am joined by Brad.
I can't believe I'm actually going to review a movie that I saw the same day we're doing the podcast.
I know, me too. I think I got out of it about 2 hours before you did.
Yeah, like that hasn't happened in years.
I know. I mean, we've come so far that it's literally just the both of us now, too. You know, our crew is still around, but they've been cut by 5/10. I don't know. A lot. Math's hard.
Yeah, our parent company, Neb Decisions Multimedia, downsized and cut their hours. So
we call this the Zaslav treatment. They thought that it's better to just take the tax write-off, so we cut James and Henry from the podcast, and we got a nice tax break for it, so it worked out.
Yep. Not enough to repair the website, but we assure you the money's being well spent.
And we can only have Corinne and Zach show up in special like occasions, because we can't afford anything.
We can't afford them to be on regular episodes, so they just show up for film explosions.
Because they signed a contract and, you know, they have to appear in so many episodes, and the current plan was scrapped, so now they have to just come back when we ask them to, so you know.
Yeah. Money has hit us just like every other industry.
Yes. The movie we saw this week is Joker, Folie à Deux. Stay tuned. Why don't I just call it Joker Chapter 2 or something? Stay tuned. We'll review the film, tell you if we like it or not, recommend it, play the trailer, and then spoil it. We'll also talk about movie news and stuff we watched throughout the week. Just keep on chugging along, you know? It's what we do for coming up on our 15th anniversary is next year.
This is episode 650, so we're halfway to 700 now.
Yeah. I guess technically is it 15? 14. No, it'll be 14. But soon.
What are we going to do when we hit episode 1000?
Oh, dude. Well, I didn't want to spoil it, but Robert Downey Jr. will be on the 1000th episode of Real Nerds Podcast.
We'll finally get his attention.
Yeah.
It's like, holy shit, he's seen these guys have been doing like a podcast for 20 years.
And then he sees the first episode of our pod show. I am out.
Dude, how amazing would it be if he like contacted you and said like, look, I think you need the real me.
My gosh.
And like has us remake the episode.
I'd say, Brad, you have to shoot me from the waist up because I'd have a boner the whole time.
Watch out for my tripod.
You're gonna poke an eye out with that thing. Anyways. So yeah, that's what we do. We see a new movie. We podcast our experience to the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, one second. I have a cat that is an asshole, And all he does is knock things over all the time and runs and jumps on me. And he just knocked over our whole trash can. So, you know.
That was nice of him.
Yeah, fucking cat. Anyways, hey, Brad, we saw Joker Folie à Deux. Do you recommend that film?
Sort of. Again, like the other one, it's gorgeous to look at. Experience-wise, I don't know how to feel about it. On the one hand, it feels like just a hot mess. On the other hand, it feels like someone really understands like mental illness. On the other hand, kind of a puss out, way out of the franchise. I don't know. Like, yeah.
You know what? I actually agree with everything you said. I really liked the first one. My biggest complaint about the first one is how it ended, and it's also one of my biggest complaints about this one, is I thought the first one should have ended with him on top of the cop car and smearing the blood to be the Joker smile, instead of him being in a mental institution. And this one kind of just takes the mental illness part, where I was compelled at certain points in this film, because I really liked the Harley character for a little bit, and then I kind of didn't.
Yeah.
And then you're right, the ending is a big puss out, and when I read an interview with Todd Phillips, it's even bigger slap in the face. And we're seeing that, I saw it on a Tuesday, so the audience has already weighed in on this film, and it's not going to do well, so
yeah. Big, probably going to be a big dip from Billion Dollar Movie, but also like, appreciate it for being daring to like not be a typical sequel, if that makes sense.
Sure.
So I'm like, yeah, I just don't know how to feel about it. And also like, it has like a strong commentary on how like our perceptions of these characters, it's like, does society damage, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a weird one.
Yeah. Here's the trailer for Joker.
2 years ago, the name Arthur Fleck hit Gotham like a hurricane.
The trial of the century.
They believe Arthur Fleck to be some kind of martyr. Well, he's not. He's a monster.
When I first saw Joker, when I saw you,
the whole world smiles with you.
For once in my life, I didn't feel so alone anymore.
When you're laughing, oh, when you're laughing. In my life, I have someone who needs me.
How about you, Arthur? Do you still think you're a star?
Showtime.
Suspicion that we're not giving the people what they want.
It's okay, baby. Let's give the people what they want.
Before the judgment.
Yeah, the second part of Arthur Fleck's story is it picks up a little over a year after he kills
Murray.
Yeah, thank you. On his talk show, and he's getting ready to go stand trial, and he's being evaluated if he's competent or not for trial, or whether he's too insane to do it. And his defense attorney, played by Catherine Kinnear, who's great in this movie.
Yeah, I didn't know she was in it.
I know, I didn't either. She believes that Arthur and Joker are two separate people, and that he suffers from basically two personalities due through years of abuse.
Yeah.
And
even though he's, it should be Blackgate Prison, but it's Arkham Prison, and then she's trying to get him moved to like a mental health facility instead of an asylum.
Or yeah.
Trying to get him sent to an asylum instead of prison.
And while he's in prison, he meets Lee, who's really Harley Quinn. And she's in there for, you know, being a pyro person.
Pyromaniac.
Pyromaniac, thank you. And burning her house down, and she connects with him right away. And they kind of build this little love thing, and there's the musical numbers I actually thought were really clever in this movie. I thought it told the story well. And to your point, before we started this, there is a mental illness part to this that I think helps with the film being, I don't know if maybe like a little perverse in you feel sorry for Arthur, because they also turned the dynamic of Harley Quinn and the Joker, where you learn, we are in spoilers, that Harley is actually still a psychiatrist, and she's using him because and exploiting his mental illness like other people are exploiting it. And I thought that was an interesting dynamic, because it kind of makes her, gives her character a different dimension.
Yeah, she's not like the just like sycophant of, you know, head over heels for this guy and will, you know, do anything he says. She's like actually the one in control.
Yeah, so it's a cool dynamic, because she is really cold and calculating, and she preys on Arthur's mental illness and his low IQ, where, you know, she tells him, oh, I'm pregnant, by the way, after she is called out by his lawyer for being a liar. And then he falls into the trap again and, you know, becomes the Joker at his trial. And like, there is some elements to this film that are really cool, but then also there's parts where it's a little boring. And, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, so they're going like for two hour ten minute movie, like where, like what are they gonna do at this point?
Yeah,
and like what I was watching.
Yeah, and there's
the next
lot
thing
of,
I knew is that like almost over.
Yeah, and there's a lot of unresolved storylines. You know, because I don't know if it's on purpose, but I wanted to see more of Harley Quinn. You know, even in the trailers had like them dancing on the steps of the courthouse.
Oh yeah.
You know, when Arthur got out, the comic book person in me, when at the end, when they do the car bomb at the courthouse and they get Arthur out and he meets Harley on the stairs, I really wanted them to become, you know, the clown prince of crime or the comic book guy in me. But then they go to this total puss out of that Arthur really isn't the Joker. He's just Arthur, and he started this movement, and he gets murdered in prison. And
by someone more inclined to be the typical Joker.
Yeah, they're not telling me that that's the Heath Ledger Joker, right?
I did not get that.
Because he cuts the smile in his face at the end. So I'm hoping that they're not making that canon, because that would be really disappointing.
Well, as far as I know, they're not making any more movies based on this universe, but I didn't get that. Like, I was like, it feels like a bunch of different Jokers in the comics and this are like that. So
yeah,
I think it was more just explaining like, oh, everyone else that's like supported Arthur is going to become the Joker. You know, it's not going to be like one guy. It's a movement. Much like the Dark Knight is a symbol in the Dark Knight, you know, it's like a reverse of this is like, okay, this guy's created like a chaos symbol that isn't going to be one person.
Okay. I was just really worried when I saw that. It's like, he's really carving a smile on his face. And I was about to like, I don't know. So I did have a feeling as it was getting to his conclusion. I was thinking in my head that they were going to kill Arthur. I don't know.
I was shocked. I like didn't think that was going to happen. I figured maybe Harley was going to come back and like, oh, I've got this plan, or this is all part of the plan. And just like they knifed him. And like, I didn't really get like why the guards were so upset by his television appearance. Like,
because he called
him fat.
Fat? Come on, dude.
And then I expected him like at the trial to be like, oh, by the way, the Brendan Gleeson guy killed, you know, because I did this, you know, I got this other guy in prison killed. So definitely get him while get me the chair.
Because there's like, and there's certain things when he calls his friend Gary up, like that scene's actually pretty heartbreaking. You know, and I'm like, oh man, this, and there's moments in this movie that I am really sucked into it. But it just seems that it falls flat a little bit in a lot of places, and it's too divisive. You know, it's basically giving the middle finger to comic book fans, you know?
Yeah, I actually kind of felt like it was giving a finger to people who like loved the Joker, like the first movie, who were like thought he was like this hero.
Yeah, and I mean, and that's always going to be the problem with it. It's funny you say that. I read an article today on the Hollywood Reporter that talks just about that, where outside of Batman and Spider-Man, the Joker might be the most popular comic book character. And I had a thing about that, and I think they might be right. And when you take something that people love and you give them an origin story for the first one that kind of delivers on, you know, who the Joker might be, and then in this one you're like, no, he's just some dude and he's dead.
Did you and forget he's a terrible person? Because we're going to remind you that like you should not idolize this guy.
And I thought it would have been cool if, I mean, obviously it doesn't matter, but you know, they did that Three Joker story, which was really fascinating, where each era of the Joker is someone different because their personalities are different. And I thought that's maybe that they were going to do in this movie, where, you know, Arthur is the comedian Joker and he's a failed comedian. And then the next one is going to be, you know, the Heath Ledger Agent of Chaos one. And then whatever the fuck Jared Leto's one is. I thought that's maybe the path they're going, but no, they decided to just kill him and be like, nah, fuck you guys. You don't get any, you don't get any resolution to this story, to the Harley Quinn story, to Harvey Dent, which they kind of alluded to that he's two-faced. You don't get any of that stuff. You're just, this is just how it's going to end. All fucking depressing with his eyes becoming dilated. So
like they're like, okay, what are we gonna do for the second one? They're like, oh, we kind of got this idea about like just like him going through his trial and maybe hallucinating some things. And then like they got to the end of the movie, like, yeah, we're actually kind of bored with this stuff. Let's just like not do this anymore.
Yeah, and there's like moments where Joaquin Phoenix is really good. In the trial, he does these little facial expressions, or he does like huffs and puffs that you feel that he does suffer from mental health and he can't control who he is. But it's never fully, you know, developed. And I think that's what makes the Joker unpredictable. And I was hoping, and this is again, just me as a movie person and watching his closing statement where he says it's just Arthur. I was really hoping that they would find him not guilty, and he's going to go out and say, you know, Arthur's dead and it's only the Joker, and I played this system just like I played everybody. Because I thought it was maybe like a ploy, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Also, as a police officer, how about that prison and all, like, the lacks of, like, you know?
Yeah.
Just letting, like, Harley Quinn into his, like, isolation cell and, you know, the free cigarettes and what else? God, there's so many, like, just lapses in security. They were just like...
Yeah, that doesn't happen. In fact, yeah. Cigarettes are considered contraband in jails. And if you have it on you, it's a felony.
Yeah. Yeah, so many, like, lax things about that whole setup. I was just like, geez, Ryan must be squirming.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I take it as entertainment.
You know, like, they had the judge talk about, like, he can wear his costume to the trial. But I'm like, okay, so, but at the prison, someone had to give him a tray of makeup to put on. Like,
yeah, where's he getting this from? Yeah, I don't know.
Where are they keeping his purple suit in prison? You know, it's like, just, like, giving him the time to get, yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, so there's just, like, it just feels incomplete and a little pretentious on its own. Because, like I said, there is elements here that I really enjoy. I think that exploring how people suffer from mental health and how it can affect you, whether it's his mom and being, you know, abused and sexually abused and stuff, it's just, but they don't really want to exploit it, and that's fine, but it, I don't know. It just feels a lot of unresolved issues.
Yeah, or come down with a definitive take on anything.
Yeah, it seems everything's just like, oh, we're not going to really do it. We're really not going to commit to Arthur being the Joker, which I never got anyways. Why don't you just go full-blown Joker? And that's why people are pissed off. And it got a worse cinema score than Madam Web, which I forgot came out this year. So
yeah, but that's not fair. I this is way more coherent than Madam Web.
Oh, yeah, no, it's a 10 times better movie than that, because the writing is at least, and the acting is good.
Yeah, it looks like the actors want to be there. Yeah,
it's not a Pepsi Cola ad, so I cannot believe that movie came out this year. Yeah, and I only have one more. I have Kraven the Hunter in December, so, you know, who knows. Oh, and I have Venom too. I have two more fucking Sony Marvel Spider-Man universe movies.
You're eating good.
Dude, I'm so excited. Because Venom... Oh, no, wait. Does Venom come out in December and they push Kraven to February? Or is
Venom
at the end of the month?
Not following those movies at all.
I want to... Maybe it is Venom at the end of the month and Kraven in December. Let's see.
I mean, I've seen a lot of the trailers, but they're not coming.
So Venom comes out October 25th.
Oh, geez. Okay.
And Kraven is December 13th. So they literally are just stacking their Marvel movies. So good for them. Yep. Anything you want to add for Joker, Brad?
I don't think so. I think we covered it all.
Awesome. Hey, this is a big movie news of the week.
It's real news.
I forgot it. So I had it pulled up and then my windows closed. Yeah. This is what we watched this week.
So this is the stuff we've been watching.
Brad, what'd you watch this week?
Let's see. I guess the big thing is, I watched, Frankie Frico.
Ah, oh, man, I wanted to see that.
Slow down.
Oh, do I not?
it's not. So Frankie Frico is the story of this square ass business guy, who is pretty Milk Toast, and he goes home and watches this commercial, like one of those 900 number commercials, late night ones, for this guy Frankie Frico, who's like this like gremlin character who likes to party. Then his wife, who is pretty dissatisfied with their relationship, is like, I got to go out of town, so you better keep the place neat and tidy while I'm gone. And he just can't resist calling the number. And then
like Cat Frankie, in a Hat?
Yep. Frankie Frico gets transported from his universe with two other little gremlins. And they trash his house. And meanwhile, his boss, who's basically like a lumber type, is trying to get him to go into work on the weekend to shred some documents for some, you know, activities that he might be indicted for. It's like, I need you to go to the office and shred these documents and make sure the camera can see you do it. So it's got this like quirky, typical like Psycho Goreman type of humor, and it is funny. But Frankie Frico is like really underdeveloped as a character. Like, yeah, he's just a party gremlin. But he's got like these two sidekicks, so they all kind of share the spotlight. And but they're still like secondary to this I forgot the character's name, but like the, you know, the dork guy. So yeah, eventually like they're about to murder him, and then like he gets the upper hand and then doesn't, and then he gets transported back to like Frankie Frico's universe, where there's like this, you know, mob boss who's like ruling the entire planet. Putting Frico's into like camps and things, or killing them via robots. Yeah. It's crazy. And there's a lot of, like fun puppety type stuff and practical things and silly, goofy jokes. Like eventually the boss comes over to his house and it's like, I want to, you know, so like the Frico shoots the nerdy guy in the neck and like he goes to the office and he's like, eventually he gets his boss to come over and he's like, I still think you're lying, but I want to see you like what you're talking about, like, cause you have this like gunshot wound in your neck. And he goes like into the basement and steps in a bear trap and like it's covered in glue and stuck to the floor the rest of the movie. Stuff like that. And there's like a big monster, like practical monster at the end that they fight with a chainsaw. But yeah, there's just like not much else there, you know?
Because I was excited, you know, because Psycho Goreman, and I mean, the trailer's pretty silly.
Yeah. I mean, for as silly as it is, they're still like, oh, there's like the kids and they're having like this emotional story connecting to this character, but like there's not any real emotional connection in this movie. Like Frankie Frico, like I expected Frankie Frico to like teach the nerdy guy how to not be a dork all the time. And it's really like barely in that, like part of that. And it's like really not obvious. Like there's a twist at the end that I want to say but what's really going on, but like, yeah, like for most of the movie, it's just like them fighting each other and trashing the house and then going to like the Frico world and getting turned into slaves and like going before like the big boss guy. And yeah, it's just like, just general zaniness, like a big fluffy cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like, yeah, Psycho Goreman at least has like these kids, and I forget, like they have this like relationship with their parents they're trying to like solve, I think. And then like, yeah, like they at least like make Psycho Goreman like not a killer anymore.
Yeah. You
know? It's not like they teach Frankie Frico to not be a party animal all the time, you know? And in return, like the nerdy guy gets more confidence or something.
Yeah, you know, it's, when I see the trailer, it reminds me of those old 80s like Munchies movies or something, or Ghoulies or something.
Yeah, the villain is actually called Munch. So,
is it really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
I think I'm still gonna see it, but I think it's already out of theaters. I think it's only there for a couple days.
Yeah, they had a couple showings, but I guess the Blu-ray is coming in pretty quick, so it'll be easy to see soon.
Is it worth getting on Blu-ray?
I'm not going to. Yeah, like I would watch it again, but I don't know if I'd like on purpose try to watch it, you know?
Oh, okay. So I'll try to stream it then, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Like I said, I wouldn't mind watching again, but I'm not gonna like try to. You know, there's just not much there.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Like if I watch it again, it's because like I want to see like that office joke again or something. You know. It's
yeah.
Like, it's like I love the story so much.
Hmm.
So yeah, And I also watched The Burning.
The Tom Savini horror movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah. We were making fun of it as we're watching it pretty much, but that's shockingly, like, you know, Fisher Stevens is in there, Holly Hunter's in there.
Yeah, and Jason Alexander.
Jason Alexander, and then like it's written by Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah. It's one of the hardest commentaries to listen to, not because it's the director's fault, and I have the Scream Factory The Burning, and it's one of their very first ones, so maybe 2011. And the director really thanks Harvey Weinstein for getting his movie made. I'm like, ugh, God.
Yeah.
This is aged poorly.
Yeah. And I was just like, you know, watching the meta version of it where like Harvey Weinstein is the burned guy.
Oh, there you go.
You know, like he wrote this because like deep down he's like a burned, scarred guy who's like just, you know, out to get women and stuff.
Yep. I mean, that raft scene's really cool.
Yeah. But also, like, if I stood up in a canoe, I would not just like have the balance to cut three, four people and up. You know, you'd fall on your face in the water.
Well, that's not because you're not Cropsy, dude. So,
yeah, and then also, yeah, that like I don't know, concrete jungle that they have in the woods, very much felt like, hey, we're at the actual Cropsy legend site. Let's like draw this out for 30 minutes. Pretty sure they recycled a bunch of shots where that one denim shirted dude is like just in tiny barn, like circling around the same stuff.
I picked that up when I was watching. I did the same thing. I said, did they just slip shots? What is going on here?
Yeah. I guess like one more thing I watched, like not a hugely notable, but I saw this movie called Notice to Quit.
Mm-hmm.
It's about this guy who's a real estate agent in New York, and he's like down on his luck, but he has to get his daughter. He's divorced. Yes, like his daughter wants to hang out with him, but he like has to like sell or like rent some properties or sell some properties so he can make rent and everything by the end of the day. But he has to bring his daughter along with him, and it's kind of cute, but overall like not terribly interesting.
Yeah,
you just watch this loser just like be more of a loser, and then eventually be like, yeah, you know. At least I have my daughter. Yeah. So the world's okay.
Yeah, you know, kids make the world fun.
But it's like a bunch of movies like at the mills that like I haven't seen trailers for, and it's like only out around for like a week or two. Yeah. What'd you watch?
You know, I just keep on my spooky season going. I'm closing on a house and I'm selling my house. So I'm kind of trying not to spend a shit ton of money because all I'm doing is spending a shit ton of money on inspections and stuff.
Yeah.
I watched 2023's Haunted Mansion again, which is, I think it's a better movie than people give it credit for.
How'd you even see it? It's so dark.
It is a dark movie. It's fun. There's a lot of cool callbacks to The Ride. I think it's better than the Eddie Murphy one. It's just a fun little, family, you know, spooky movie. I watched Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein, which is brilliant. It's another film where they're not really making fun of the monsters, but the situation that Abbott and Costello were in present the laugh. You know, my favorite is always when Costello is in his room and the Wolfman keeps on trying to get him, and he just happens to move at the last second before he's got by the Wolfman. It's a brilliant movie and it's really fun. Your favorite type of movies, 1940s black and white films.
Just mainline that for me.
And the last two things I watched them last night, is I watched Terrifier 1 and Terrifier 2.
Oh, why?
Which is really interesting to watch back to back, because it's unrelenting violence and like sadism and torture.
It's like, can they be classified as snuff films at this point?
I mean, fuck. Yeah, probably. because, you know, one of the reasons why the writer director self-finances them is because he doesn't want studios to tell him what he can put in them, because he wants to keep it that extreme. So, you know, they're still really fun and I still really like them, but it definitely takes a certain kind of person to like those movies. It's not a horror movie. Even if you like horror films, I won't be like, you know what? You need to see Terrifier. You know, you need to see a woman sawed in half from her groin to her head.
Yeah.
And then you know.
For 30 straight minutes.
Yeah. Then you know that you're good to go. So yeah, that's all I really watch. I've been starting to get back into horror movies I have and having fun watching them, because I do love horror movies. And sometimes I don't think I exploit me having all these movies I own enough. It seems sometimes I'm always chasing, you know, the new thing. So lately I've been watching a lot of movies I've owned and it's been fun. Which brings me to next week. We're seeing Terrifier 3.
oh, not Saturday Night the Movie?
I looked. It's not playing in a lot of places.
Should be. It's at the Alamo.
Is it at the Alamo? Man, let me bring up my handy dandy Alamo app.
Yeah. Thursday.
Oh, there it is. So maybe we'll do two. Maybe we'll do Saturday Night and Terrifier. And I actually think Piece by Piece looks interesting too.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not the biggest Pharrell Williams fan, but I mean, it looks like an interesting way to tell a biography.
Yeah. I feel like we've got to get on a film explosion for this month.
So, we do. That would be October 20th. We'll be recording Film Explosion 2004. Because that's the day I think you marked, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
However,
yeah.
I've recently been informed there is not a show. Oh, yeah, the birthday party is at 1. So if we do it in the evening, we're good.
Well, that's what time you usually want to do it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine with me. And it works out because it's a Sunday. I can start. Because
yeah, is there a Broncos game that day?
No, I have it this week. That's why I couldn't do it this week.
Yeah.
And I mean, next week I don't. But if all goes according to plan, I'm closing on my house on the 23rd, so I have to keep packing and move out. So yeah, at nighttime would be fine.
Awesome.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not done till it's done, Brad. But it looks like I'll have, at my new home, there'll be a basement that will have a podcasting area.
Oh, what better?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I told my wife. I'm like, we're getting a divorce if this doesn't happen. And she's like, okay, here's the divorce papers. I'm like, I'm just kidding.
yeah. Feel free to invite me over to, you know, make it accurate to what we need.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when I get all my stuff in there and we, you know, look around and we'll see what we can do.
You're gonna need to install like a steel door so that, you know, none of the shit gets stolen, you know?
Yes. I heard there's a lot of trouble in the Green Mountain area of Lakewood. So yeah, until next week. See you at the movies.
A real nerd knows who shot a real nerd.
Thanks for listening to Real Nerds Podcast, a Nebulous Visions production. Stream or download episodes, read articles at realnerdspodcast.com. Stream us on Apple or Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or iHeartRadio. Follow us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. Twitter and Instagram, at Real Nerds. Watch us on YouTube, Real Nerds Podcast. Email us at realnerds@gmail.com. Call us at 720-6NERDS5. Thank you to Sparks Mandrill, Mike at Plan 9 Studios, and Bolognium for all of our groovy theme songs. And that's how you fucking do it!